I guess that's my cue. They didn't mean to, but I'm taking it. Would you sit down, please? Okay. It's going to be extra fun today. Happy Valentine's Day. We're here to share the love of God, right? Okay, and especially to thank Him for all the different ways that He has shown His love to us, including the love we share together. Just to be, while I'm thinking about, just in case, not to presume anything, but if anyone feels like they're going to need some tissues at some point, we have extra tissues around the, yes, Sherry's got one over there, or she already claimed a box. So there are some other boxes around. Anyway, so, yeah, good morning again, and I don't know, maybe I'll just get it out of the way, because in case there's anyone here that hasn't heard the news, so we've kind of called around, but maybe not everybody got the word. Thursday night in our church council meeting, we shared the certainty that it's time to transition into new pastoral leadership. And the council was unanimous in agreeing with us that the Lord has brought Hollis here the last few years in preparation for that. And so in 2 weeks from today, we have to, according to the bylaws, give official notice of this sort of thing. 2 weeks from today at the annual business meeting, we'll be giving you the opportunity to affirm that as a church as a whole. And so that's the official announcement. I'll have much more to say about this as part of the message, okay? So we love you all, and thank you for being here today, sharing God's love together. So I want to welcome, where did she go? There she is, Maya. Is it Maya or Mia?
Maya.
Maya is here with the Goyles again. So good to have Brooke and the girls, Faith and all, and Colton back. It's been a few weeks. The COVID and all that sort of thing. We're glad you're with us today. And then also, did Rick walk out? That was Rick. Maybe he was afraid I was going to introduce him. He's in there. Rick, are you coming?
We welcome you, Rick.
I have to warn you about this guy. He thinks he has a sense of humor. He thinks he used to be like a stand-up comedian. But I can see why he's no longer in that business, because he's attempted some of his humor on me. It's just not good. It's not funny. So don't even try it Don't even try it anymore, Rick. Welcome.
You have to have a sense of humor to get it.
Oh, ouch! Oh, that one hurt. Thank you, Joanna. That was good. Oh, I tell you what, we sure know how to love each other here, don't we? Okay. And Wayne and Shaney are here for 2 weeks in a row. I don't know, it's getting dangerous, so be careful of them. We're glad you're back today. Yeah, did I miss anyone? Except for someone who might have a colored bulletin insert. Speak now or forever hold your peace. If you've got an insert that's got some color on it, Shaney, congratulations, you're special, extra special today. Who else wants to claim it? There should be another one. Funny thing, last week after we were done and I was throwing the bulletins away, I was pulling out some of the inserts concerning the pouch thing, and I saw a colored bulletin insert in there, which is impossible because I usually make sure to pass those out, but maybe something happened again today. Some of you people are bad. Bad is the word. You don't cooperate. And I hope in the last 4.5 months that we're here, you'll straighten up. Because I don't have to hand this nonsense over to Hollis. Okay? Can we get on to the announcements? Whoops. Okay. Kink. They told me not to touch that light, so there you go. Wednesday, we're going to give it another shot, resuming the Bible study, 6 o'clock Wednesday night, John 2, verse 12 and following. Be here, or...
You all know I'm the one that's supposed to
Oh, yes, exactly. I will be here Wednesday, regardless if you're not. Okay. Join us next Sunday. Hey, Pastor John's going to share about Archie arms and anchors. Okay, so this is another one of those meeking things, Anita. It's part of the meeking process, so it's scary. Yeah. Oh, it won't be scary. It'll be good. Okay. Also next Sunday, do not forget our monthly food and fellowship fair. We missed January, so you should be really extra ready to bring some goodies and share them together. Yes?
So we'll have to celebrate January and February.
Okay, yes, as far as birthdays and anniversaries, correct. That is correct. Okay, and then also in 2 weeks, as I mentioned, we will be having our annual church renewal Sunday. I prefer to refer to it as that, including our annual business meeting, addressing those things that we mentioned, as well as budget and other parts of the ballot. Okay, so pick up a pouch back there. They're almost all gone. Get one before they're gone. And don't forget to sign your name on there like Shannon did, and we had to drag her back in here and flail on her. And got her name down. Yes, we have extras beyond there. So thank you for those. In fact, Lula already brought theirs back today, filled with nothing but $5,000 bills. Thank you, Lula. Okay, and let's see. I guess that's all we need to say about that. Anything else that I'm forgetting? Okay. Front of your bulletin has the passage from Matthew 22, so familiar, that is the focus of our worship today. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And so we are here to obey the commandments of the Lord, to love him and to love each other. Are we up for that today? Alrighty, let's bow our heads as we begin. Father, we do love you. We thank you for your love. The love we share together comes from you. So privileged and blessed to do that. Thank you, Lord. On this Valentine's Day, we celebrate the greatest Valentine of all. That was your son. And the love that he came to pass on to us. And so we share that together today. Help us to honor and glorify you in this hour and the love that we share. We give you praise for it in your son's name. Amen. Stand and greet someone if you haven't had a chance. Wah, wah, wah. Okay. Proud of you, D. Wayne. Keep it going, big boy. Keep it going. The wah, wahs will never stop. Okay, deep breath. So as we shared with the church council the other night, we've been thinking, praying, talking for some time about this, done a lot of crying. We shared a lot of tears Thursday night with the council, did some hugging, and it's probably been the most difficult message to look forward to that I've ever had to share. I shouldn't say had to share. I really do consider it a privilege, and I want us to have a positive attitude toward it because we can celebrate and embrace together what God is doing. And I just want to say, as I shared with the council, you know, sometimes we have to look back in life and regret that we didn't take the time to express our love to each other when we should have. And we regret those missed opportunities. We're not going to make that mistake here. So it has begun. And we're going to have a long goodbye, as it were. And I want us to embrace it fully and rejoice in God who's making this possible so that we have a time of transition. We were privileged to come and follow Mom and Dad here. I was looking forward to a time of transition with Dad. That never happened. I've always regretted that. And he passed before we could get here to say goodbye. I've regretted that. I took some consolation, as I've shared before. Mom and Dad, or Elaine, said that the last words from your dad were, "It's okay, John's on the way." So that gave me some consolation, but I'm thankful to God that He has brought us to this day in a clear enough way for us to say yes, this is God's will, and we embrace it, and we're going to move forward with joy and gratitude and thanks that He's made it clear and that we're all together in it. It can possibly be the best transition in the history of God's kingdom. Not sure I should say that, because Jesus did a pretty good job preparing His disciples and all of that, so, but it's going to be close. We're going to talk about some of that. I'm offering to you a Valentine today. It may not seem like that, but it is. It's an expression of love. Sometimes love is tough. Sometimes it's hard to express. You don't always get to do what you want, but you should do what you know you need to do. And that's love. That's love. And so we're going to, PJ is going to share, what should I put in there? Oh, okay. How about a vacating Valentine? Is that good? Huh? Joanna, what?
I don't think you said today that you're not leaving till July.
Oh, thank you. I do want to make that clear. We're still going to be around. No. Like I said, it's going to be a long goodbye. And even after it's officially turned over, when the vacating has been filled, and that's going to happen in a transitioning process. It's not going to just be like that. Okay, that was good. I didn't even plan that one. So we're going to fill the vacating as we go along. How's that? Does that be okay? And it's going to... Yes, thank you. So, yeah, just to restate it, the plan is the end of June, 1st of July, we'll be going on vacation, our annual vacation, and that will be the clear break. But then we will come back and we will be here during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, with Helping Hands. We're going to continue that until the dream of the Good Samaritan Inn is fulfilled. And so we'll see how long that takes. We will be gone on the weekends, and so we won't be in the way of that. But we'll still have opportunities to share the love. Okay? So let's make every opportunity, make the most of every opportunity to do that. And today is my chance to do that, and I hope that I'm able to do it well, and that we can rejoice in what the Lord is doing today. So, speaking the truth in love, Sue, that's what I'm trying to do today, all right? I want to begin with what we might call the next one, PJ's perspective. And I hope that you see, is that going to get, yes, thank you. Do we need someone else to do that? Are you going to be able to handle that, Sue? I hope you see that my perspective is God's perspective, and that's what I want us to share together more than anything today, to make sure we understand and say amen to what? Is something spelled wrong? That's my wife's fault, and I'm sorry I didn't catch it. Perspective is spelled with a s. Perp. Wow. No, that's really appropriate, unfortunately. I think she did that on purpose. I think that's her getting back at me, perp. Okay, don't anybody try to define perp today, please. Let's leave that little perspective. And as I've shared many times, Psalm 16 is my personally adopted psalm. And so I want to share just a few verses of that for us today. Alan, please.
Psalm 16, 2-3.
I'm not sure you're on. Are you on?
Psalm 16, 2-3. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance.
Yeah. So all of you know that my first memory in life is basically saying these first words to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. First memory in life, giving my heart to the Lord, I consider that a very high privilege. Receiving Christ as my Savior and repeating these words time and time again through the years. My life has been more blessed than anyone's I know. And when I have opportunity with others who have not had that privilege, it kind of tears my heart that they haven't had the same privilege. And so that includes the last 23 years here. And this delightful inheritance that I have includes being able to follow Mom and Dad here and having the love relationship with all of you that they had. And this version of what you read says, I say of the holy people, and they are the noble ones. In the version that I learned and memorized that, as for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. That's you. That's all of you. And so this is probably the greatest blessing God has given to me in all the years that I've been blessed. And I want you to know that clearly. We consider it that way. And as I shared with the council, I never thought ahead. I never thought I would have to do this. I always thought, well, I'll just keep being a pastor until I die like Dad did, and that's it. But I know for certain that's not the best way. That's not what's best for God's church. It's not Dad's church. Hasn't been my church. It's God's church. And we have been listening to the Lord and mindful of what's best for the church, not for our selfish selves. And we saw the decline of the church when Dad went downhill the last years. And I guess we should have come sooner. But anyway, I just want you to know this is kind of the big picture in my mind of the blessing that we've had in this church. And I believe it's God's perspective. And then one of the wisest men of all time, Solomon, adds to this perspective in Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love. And a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace.
A time to tire and retire. Shared with the council, mentally, emotionally, physically, we've been going downhill and we recognize that. We don't have the energy to and drive to do what the church needs or the vision. God has provided that in the person who will follow. And I just want to encourage you to know that there is a time for every season. And the Lord makes beautiful in His time everything. And that's what the writer of Ecclesiastes goes on to say in the next part.
He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can taken away from it. God does it so that people will fear him.
And I just want to say, God does it so that people will fear him. The best way to understand that is revere him. And that includes the love that he gives us to share. The writer of Ecclesiastes had the big view of it, the God's perspective. And he said, God makes everything beautiful in his time. Everything beautiful. If we're open to it, if we cooperate with him, it can be that way, and we can claim that in the present circumstance. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. And so what we're sharing together is what God has designed and intended. And so we rejoice in that. We celebrate in it. And it's all about God. That's the biggest point. It's all about God. It's all him. And we have the privilege to be a part of it. And the seasons come and the seasons go. But God is doing his thing through it all for eternity. And so we rejoice in embracing that. That's my perspective. And this revering, or the love that it refers to for the Lord, continues then in what the teacher comes to conclude is the commandment's conclusion. Commandment's conclusion. Ecclesiastes 12.
The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind.
The teacher, the pastor, has searched long and hard for the right words. I've been praying intensely and asking God to give me his mind and his perspective, the biblical basis for what we're going through, and I believe that he has given that to us. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Here's the bottom line of it. Fear God, revere God, love God is what it's saying, and keep his commandments, for this is all the duty of mankind. What is the commandments that God wants us to fulfill? There we go, coming back around to it, aren't we? Jesus summed it up. We've shared it together earlier. Matthew chapter 22, Linda.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
And so if we fear God, revere God, love God, we will do his commandments. We will bring the big conclusion to what God has commanded of us. And that is simply to love him with everything, to love each other with everything, even when it's tough, even when it's hard, even when it brings conclusion, in a sense, to us. We are concluding his commandment. Jesus later would go on and add in John chapter 15 to this.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that...
Yes, thank you, Linda.
My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. This is my command: love each other.
I don't know if you've picked up on it or not, but try to put yourself in my place when you hear these words Jesus sharing with his disciples, because I would say a very similar thing to you. I have loved you. Continue to love each other. Obey this command from your present pastor. Keep loving each other. Remain in his love. It's his love that we share together, and he will continue to bless you with that. This is everything that God desires and requires, is for us to be able to share this kind of love together. At the same time, Jesus also states that this is the basis for what we might call pastoral pruning. Pastoral pruning. What does he say in John chapter 14?
You heard me say, I am going away. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen to you, you will rejoice. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away.
Suppose I relate to that at all? Can you hear those words from PJ today and accept them as an expression of love? You've heard me say, I'm going away. If you believe that, you will be glad that I've said it. It is for your good that I'm going away. May not seem like that, may not be what you want to hear, but I believe it with all my heart. And I know that God has greater things in store. So that when it does happen, in the 4.5 months we have left or so, and whatever beyond that, you will rejoice. You will rejoice, as Jesus encouraged his disciples to see and understand. And then Jesus continues with this in John chapter 15.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Don, stop it. Jesus said that while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. He's talking about this church. This church has borne fruit. Someone said to me the other day that I met in the store that I haven't seen for years, and I didn't, someone I had worked with. She said, you know what? Your church is small, but your church does more in this community than any other church. I went, how does she even know? She listed off the different things this church is involved in, and which touched my heart. It's never been my dream to grow this church, you know, as the largest church in the community. That's never been a goal. We have just tried to follow God's will and leading in whatever opportunities we've had, and he has brought us to this day, and I believe he has even more to go forward. However, in order for that to happen, pruning has to happen. So if a branch does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. Sometimes you got to prune the pastor. And yeah, that does need to happen so that the branch, this church, will continue to bear fruit and bear even more fruit than it has. I see the looks on your faces. Oh, ye unbelieving generation, how long must I bear with you, Brooke?
5 more months.
It might be hard to hear. It might be hard in this moment to say, yeah, that's right, Dad, that's right. But I think you know in your hearts that is right. And I'm thankful to be a part of a branch that has borne fruit, that hasn't had to be completely cut off, and will continue to bear more fruit in the pruning process. While the Lord is pruning me, he's also pruning this fellow over here. There's a pruning process we're going to share together over the next number of months, and that will continue. For each one of us individually, as a part of this branch, there's pruning that needs to take place. Be open to that, embrace it, say thank you, Lord, for all of that. Then Paul, and Jesus said this one other thing that might be hard to understand, but he said to his disciples before he left them, "You will do greater works than I have done." I want to say that to you guys, to this church. You will do greater works than what has been done. Okay? I believe that. Paul goes on to remind us of how God has designed the whole body to work together for the purpose of bearing fruit in Ephesians 4.
It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Yes, it has been my privilege to be pastor, teacher here of this particular part of God's body. And we have done a lot of growing. I believe we've done a lot of building. We're working toward that perfection that Paul writes about, but we're not there yet, and we won't be by the time I leave. It will continue, and a new pastor, teacher will come to be a part of that process, and God will just continue to work toward that completion of perfection, the whole measure of Christ that he desires for us to share and experience together. And so we all must work together to guarantee what I would next call what? Success or success. How are we going to guarantee that? Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9 and following.
"See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland."
How many times I have seen in a church a pastor leave, and then a new one come in, and some of the old folks in the church, the men there for years especially, it's going to be most difficult for those of you that we have loved for the 23 years we've been here. Always wanting to look back and say, "Oh, that was so good. That was so great. Oh, I wish we could, you know." And I'm looking at some of you specifically. Appreciate the past. Thank God for what we have experienced. But do not get hung up on it. Do not get hung up on it. God's doing a new thing. Look forward. Focus on the future. See what God has for today and for what lies ahead. If you don't do that, you don't love me. Sorry to say it that way. But if you love me, you will let me go, Jesus said. Don't hang on to me, he told Mary. Let me go. Sorry to put myself in Jesus' place here a few times, but I relate to what he must have been feeling when he was having to say goodbye. Always focus on God. It's God, it's not PJ or his wife. It's God. What does God want in this day? What does he want in the days ahead? That's the big thing. In that, you will honor our pastorate here. Believe God, believe also in me. Yes, keep the focus on Jesus. Thank you, Lula. And then, for Hollis's sake directly, this I believe is a word from the Lord. What did Mordecai say to his cousin Esther in Esther chapter 4?
"Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?"
Who knows? It's a good possibility, isn't it? I believe God knows. God knew. I know. The church council affirmed it the other day. The whole body is going to have an opportunity in a couple of weeks to affirm it. Who knows? Do you know? And then what did John the Baptist say about his relationship to Jesus?
He must become greater. I must become less.
I'm not John the Baptist. You're Jesus. How do you like that? How do you like them apples, Coon Blank? Boy, there's an expression of love for you, isn't there? In the time of transition for the next 4.5 months, he must become greater, I must become less. We're going to purposefully, and there's another word I wanted to use. Help me. Intentionally do that. Hollis will increase the times he preaches. I will decrease, and in other things as well. This will be a time to make that happen. It'll be good for all of us, good for the process. So there's a smooth transition and turnover so that there is success in the successor. Don't you leave and go cry. Because I have some other stuff I want you to hear. So when I came, I saw myself as Joshua following Moses. Now I find myself, maybe I'm not that old, but I find myself as Moses saying, passing the baton to Joshua. Elijah passed the baton to Elisha. Do you know what Elisha asked for? A double portion. I'm praying that God gives Elisha a double portion. You be praying the same thing. All right? What about, well, we already referred to John the Baptist and Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, as I said earlier, you're going to do greater works than this. He passed the baton to his disciples. Paul, to his sons in the faith, Timothy, Titus, Luke, some more of those guys. Peter passed the baton to John Mark. It's gone on and on. And it's a privilege to be able to do that. And so for the successor to have success, we all must be in agreement with that.
In Acts, after Jesus had risen and sent the Holy Spirit to the people that were gathered, everybody was really, really amazed at what was going on. And they became comfortable, and God had to kick the nets out under them with the persecution.
Yeah.
To make them depart so that they would go out and they would reach others with the good news. He died for us.
Yeah.
And he rose again, we might.
Thank you, Beth Ann. God afflicts the comfortable and comforts the afflicted. I think we can apply that in both ways today. And so we need to do that. Maybe in some ways we become too comfortable, and it's time for some acknowledgement of that. As I shared with the council, there have been things I've seen in the church in recent years that needed addressed that I didn't have the drive or the energy to address. And I know that Hollis has some specific things that God has already placed on his heart that the church needs, and we are affirming together. And he has the energy, he has the vision for that. It's what the church needs. I'm sorry, I don't have that anymore. I love you deeply. But that's, God knows. And that's why we're here today. Final word. We together can claim what I'm calling the concluding crown. Sound familiar, Sue? A week ago Saturday, we talked about Carol Lee's crown. Stop it. And we had used this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, the congratulations, Brooke. You get to read that.
For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing.
Okay, I don't think I'm going to die soon, but I'm in the process. It's getting closer. We never know, right? But I identify with Paul in this regard, because the time is near for our departure. But there's a crown because of the love that we have shared together. What is that crown, or who is that crown for us? Paul goes on to talk about it in Philippians and 1 Thessalonians.
Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord, for what is in our hope, our joy, the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy.
What is our crown? What is that crown that the Lord has promised to me and Kathy? It's you. 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 And the others that are missing, go home or wherever to those that may not be with us today and tell them. Give them a hug from me. And we will have opportunity, fortunately, to share this love with others that aren't able to be with us today. Jesus said to his disciples, I have a whole lot more to say to you, but you're not able to bear it all right now. I'm not able to bear it all right now. But this is a good beginning for this transition, for the long goodbye. And I hope it helps you to see God's perspective. I believe with all my heart this is what God has been telling us as we share it together here today. And I hope, I see you nodding your heads, whether you want to or not, see everyone affirming, yes, this is God's will. And so we can rejoice in it. It's a Valentine from the Lord. It's my Valentine to you. Might seem like a pretty weird Valentine, but there it is. It's an expression of our love. It's an expression of our deepest love to you. I couldn't think of a song that would be good to follow this, that I could bear. And the Lord said, well, don't use a song. Use a Valentine from me directly, and that's what we're going to close with today. It's something we've shared together before, but it will have some new meaning, I hope, to you today. It's called the Father's Love Letter. I want us to conclude by receiving from the Lord directly himself his expression of love to us in all of these scriptures that you will hear. And so I just encourage you to receive it. You can stay where you're at. You can join me at the altar, whatever you want to do, but receive the love of God today from us, but better from him directly.
Child. You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb. Brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. It is my desire to lavish my love on you. Simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could. I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope. Because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you. For you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. You seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Your love is amazing, unchanging, ever-present and true. Thank you that you know our hearts, you know our minds, you know our emotions.